is Jeff Steiner from Americans in France. And I am talking with Adrian Leeds. Adrian, are you there?
I am, yes. How are you, Jeff?
I am fine. And where are you, Adrian?
Well, actually, I'm in the Marais in Paris and looking out at a rather gray sky, hoping that it's going to get sunny.
What the arrondissement or district is that?
The third district. It's considered the Haut Marais, the upper part of the Marais district. It's one of the oldest parts of the city. And I'm fortunate enough to live in a 17th century building.
And how long have you been in Paris?
I've been here more than 18 years. Sometimes it seems like a minute. Other times it seems like 10 lifetimes.
And why Paris?
You know, Jeff, that's one of those questions it's hard to answer, because when I first came here as a tourist in 1979 and en route to lots of other places across Europe, I just sort of felt that I didn't want to go any further, that I had somehow come home. And that started an ongoing relationship with the city, which, of course, has just continued till now.
Has your perception of Paris changed over the years?
Oh, of course. I'm a whole lot more jaded now that I've been here all these years. I don't see the city the way I saw it in 1979, that's for sure.
What are some of the differences over the years or things that have changed?
Well, when you first come and it's all new and exciting and you get that sense of romantic Paris, every single minute is an adventure. And then as you live here longer and it becomes really home, then it just, it's like an old shoe, you know, it feels like something you never want to live without. I did promise myself many, many years ago that I wouldn't pass by the Eiffel Tower and not appreciate it anymore. But, you know, it does sort of happen. It does happen where, you know, every time you cross the Seine, it's just not as big a deal as it was the first time.
But do you still feel excited?
Oh, absolutely. There's no city in the world that I've ever visited that is comparable to Paris in terms of its beauty.
And where are you from in the States?
À la Nouvelle-Orléans.
A bit different.
So of course, New Orleans is a really different place, but because of its French heritage, I feel that there are a lot of similarities. I grew up on a street called Fleur de Lys, for example, and you wander around the French Quarter, the Vieux Carré, and you can't help but get a sense of French culture.
Tell me a little bit about what you do in France.
I do quite a lot of things, but our principal line of business is property consultation. And so we assist people in getting mortgages, finding property, purchasing property, renovating the property, and then renting it and managing it. So from soup to nuts related to investing in France, that can be anywhere. Although we are primarily targeted toward Paris and the Riviera, particularly Nice.
And what's it like buying property in France?
The major difference is that the system itself is different, starting with the fact that there's no multiple listing service, and the way the agents work is much more independent and proprietary than they are in the States. Then you're dealing with the bureaucratic and administrative aspects, which take quite a bit longer, and of course you're dealing with different inheritance laws, different capital gains tax regulations, all the things that, you know, you might ever have thought about purchasing property in the States are done very differently here. So, you know, I really would never recommend that anyone do this here on their own unless they had gone through it before.
I tried my hand at working for a real estate agent, a French real estate agent, and I basically pulled my hair out because it's so difficult. And I found incredibly cutthroat as working as a broker here.
Fortunately, I'm not a broker. We are not a licensed agency. We're property consultants. So the buyer hires us to advise them and to help them and to act as a liaison. So fortunately, we don't have to operate within the industry in the same way. Because every agency is independent and so proprietary, they really only care about selling their own properties and not about sharing commissions with other agencies. And they certainly don't work for the buyer, they work for the seller. That has given us a raison d'etre.
What's it like running a business in France?
Oh, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy.
Why is that?
Unfortunately, doing business in France is like being put into a straitjacket and then asked to perform somersault. The heavy bureaucratic system here really makes it very difficult to achieve anything. On one hand, that you could tear your hair out. On the other hand, it's a huge challenge, and it makes it a whole lot more interesting.
I've had other people say the same thing. It's never a dull moment.
No, never a dull moment. And legislation changes by the minute, and you have to keep up with all of that. And what you have to learn is not how to play by the rules. It's how to understand the rules and how to use what they call System D, meaning to be débrouillard and to be clever and malin, as they say, and work around it in order to survive. So it's an interesting, it's a game of chess.
It is. It can be just dealing with the bureaucracies, any of the bureaucracies you can. You have to figure out how to go around it and get the right person to get the answer that you need, and can be. I definitely think it's that is probably the biggest cultural difference that I've noticed between France and America, is the bureaucracy and the kind of the way the French, the government is much more involved, and or the bureaucrats are much more involved. The French always have to give somebody, an administrator, the power. Even if you go through agencies to rent apartment, when I was renting an apartment, you had to do all this paperwork.
I have a saying that if you play by the rules, you lose. I have seen that time and time again. And the French themselves understand that very, very well. They see their laws and regulations as suggestions, and then they look at the reality of the situation, which is very culturally different than the way an American perceives, you know, being honest, as in Honest Abe's and you know, George Washington, who couldn't tell a lie about chopping down the cherry tree and all of that. And if the French were to live that way, I don't think they'd survive.
Well, what about learning French? How was that for you?
That's a really interesting question, because I have just started learning French. In 1998, I started a French-English conversation group with a French partner that is called Parler Parler, that still exists today, because I didn't want to be in a classroom learning French, and therefore it was a way of practicing speaking and learning French in a more organic sense. And then what I discovered 18 years later was that the level of my French, which I was fairly fluent, but grammatically was a mess and pathetic. So I have actually started taking French lessons, which I do once a week, with a French woman who lives in San Francisco.
Oh, that's interesting. You go to Paris.
I'm in Paris. She's in San Francisco. We do this on Skype. It's 6 p.m. my time. It's 9 a.m. her time. We see each other. And what I love about it, besides the fact that she happens to be a really good teacher, which is one reason I'm working with her, but she's fluent in English, perfectly fluent in English, and she's living in the U.S. So culturally, she gets it. And we can really talk about a lot of things, and I find that that's a huge advantage.
Now, you've expanded because you're based in Paris that you did, but you're now in Nice?
Yeah, Nice is nice. I decided to go to the Riviera for a variety of reasons, and one of which was to expand the business. Another reason was to find a place in the sun, because these long winters of gray can be really depressing. I've always loved the Riviera, and to potentially, you know, maybe retire there sometime and to work my way, you know, down to the coast little by little.
Is it you're in Nice itself?
Oh, yeah. Central Nice, Nice proper. I'm an urban animal.
Is there anything that you see that you do that sets you apart from the French?
From the French?
Yeah, well, like, for example, I'm not sure if I'm asking this very well, but, for example, I can't stand doing the French kissing where they kiss the cheeks. I just don't like that. Something I don't like, and that's one way that I set myself apart. I think it's because I'm, you know, American. Is there anything that you do that you're you just, with the French, you're like, I just can't do that.
Oh, every single day, all day long. I will never be French. And an epiphany I think that I did have is that I will never be French and I don't want to be French.
You don't want to be French.
No, I like my Americanism. I still wear the dumb beret. I love berets, and I don't care that they're out of style. The French would never wear them, and I look like an American on the street. I don't care that I'm still in comfortable shoes. You know, those are the kinds of things that I'm never going to not do. I'm never going to stop smiling.
Uh-huh.
Even when it might make me look stupid compared to the French.
Yeah, somebody else said that, too. I remember I had somebody else on the podcast. He said, you know, don't walk around smiling. The people will look at you strange.
Yeah, I don't care. I had a neighbor once say to me, oh, vous êtes toujours souriante, you know? And I thought, yeah, of course I'm always smiling. I'm a happy American, and it's okay.
What are some of the things that you like about France?
Oh, I like a lot of things about France. I like the aesthetic values. I like its beauty. I like its morals. Generally speaking, I like the way they think more about the people and less about money. I don't think life is about money, which might seem strange considering I'm a business person, but I think there is more to life than just making a buck. And I like that whole idea of it. There is the other side to that coin, however, you know, because it doesn't work when it's an extreme. I don't believe in extreme socialism nor extreme capitalism. I think we need a balance in order to have a utopian type of society, if there is such a thing. But there are a lot of things I like about France, yeah.
Obviously the food.
You know, that's a funny thing. Sure, I like French food, but quite honestly, I'd rather eat in New Orleans than anywhere in the world.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. New Orleans cuisine is probably the best.
To kind of finish up here, what are some suggestions that you have for people that are thinking of moving to France?
The most important thing would be to do what we call a three-month dip, meaning spend 3 months here before making any kind of a permanent commitment, to do the research, do the due diligence, get to know the lay of the land. I would also seriously consider getting a lot of advice in advance, not just reading what's online and really listening to real life experiences and meeting with professionals in order to understand how to set yourself up for the move. Because as I said in the beginning, there's the law and then there's the reality. If you just follow the rules and follow the law the way Americans do, then you're going to get yourself into trouble. And I think that it's really important to know that in advance of moving here and to understand what your expectations should be.
And how can people find you?
Oh, that's easy. AdrianLeeds.com.
Well, that's an easy one.
Yeah, but it's A-D-R-I-A-N, like a guy,
uh-huh.
L-E-E-D-S, like the city in England, .com.
So you're a guy city in England.
Yeah, probably one of those, I get accused of having a very British-sounding name.
Adrian, please. Oh, well, Adrian, thank you very much. It's been very nice talking with you.
Same here, Jeff. Thank you very much, and I look forward to seeing what you have to say on Americans in France.